Off the ball
on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
John Giles in studio, no less. Hey, John.
Oh,
what a treat.
What a treat, Joe.
You watched Real Madrid Spurs last night.
Yes.
Talk to us.
Very good. Spurs are very good. It's amazing the way things go, Joe. Like last week, up to the leading up to the Manchester United match, Pochettino was the coming manager. He's the next Alex Ferguson. And they got beaten, as you know. I didn't think they deserved to be beaten. And all of a sudden, it's a downer. What's he going to do? He hasn't won anything yet. He's got to prove himself. He's got to do this, that and the other. And then it comes to the Real Madrid match and he's back on top again. I thought they were unlucky against Manchester United. I think he is a genuine good manager. I think he's building a very, very good team at Spurs under a lot of difficulties. Wages, for example. I don't know how long he's going to get away with that, Joe. I think the players like him. But I can't see a long-term for him, future for him, in terms of if they did win the Premiership, for example, or the Champions League, that clubs will come in for their outstanding players.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be very, very difficult for them because they have a wage cap. I mean, Kane is on apparently 100 grand a week. That's buttons nowadays.
Well, I think Jesse Lingard's on 160 or something.
Well, exactly. You know, it's not going to last because I think what happened with the fullback moving last year.
Walker
to City.
Yeah.
He's got to be on 150 grand a week, in my opinion, to go to City. Now, he's pals with the players. He's going to tell them that. And I can't see it lasting. I think a lot of it has a lot to do with Pochettino because they like him. Mm. They're going somewhere. They're building a team. And they're building a very, very good team.
Mm. Harry Kane hasn't complained either. The lad's probably looking at Kane thinking, well, look, if he's going to go along with it, I'll keep my nose in. But when Danny Rose spoke up...
Danny Rose came out about it, you see.
But the word was when he went into the Spurs dressing room the next day, they gave him a standing ovation. They said, well done for saying it.
Of course.
Yeah.
The players at Spurs, they're going to be different to anybody else, Joe. They're doing very well. But they want to be getting the going right.
Yeah.
Now, I think Harry Kane is a very innocent type of lad, actually. And I think his father was his agent. And they would be Spurs mad.
Yeah.
And my opinion is they were taken advantage of.
Would you go that far?
I would, because Levy is not, he's not, he's a businessman.
Yeah.
And they say, well, you know, if he's going to sign for that, then they're going to sign for that. And then you got Dele Alli, you see, there was a thing, an article in the paper about Levy was saying, I wouldn't take 150 million for him. Right? And he's on about 50, 60 grand a week.
Mm.
I think it's going to be very difficult for, Pochettino has nothing to do with that. And I think the lads like him, they're building a team. But I think it's going to be very, very difficult to him. For them, if and when they become very, very, really successful, Joe, that their agents and players will say, this is not realistic.
Dele Alli had an interesting quote last night at full time, and he was asked, were they surprised at how well it had gone? And he said, we weren't. We had a plan. And the line which stuck out to me was, he said, we came home from the Bernabeu and we couldn't believe how much space they'd given us. So where are Madrid fitting into all this? Because the boys came home from the Bernabeu thinking, God, these are open here.
Well, obviously, Real Madrid are not what they were, Joe. There's no doubt about that. I mean, over the weekend, they were beaten by one of the lower
Girona,
teams.
Girona, yeah.
You know, that doesn't happen if and when you're doing your stuff.
Mm.
And I think it was the first time, from what I read anyway, that was the first time they were beaten in the qualifying round for 5 years by Spurs. And it happens. You know, it doesn't last forever. Success, whether it be Barcelona, Manchester, anyway, it doesn't last forever.
Mm.
And it could well be that they're on a decline now, and Spurs took advantage of it, which they did last night. And Dele Alli was you were talking about Dele Alli. I think he's a very, very talented, really, really talented lad if he can control the discipline side of it. Now, he's very young, but he's got to control that job. I mean, he really is a top-class player. He knows the positions to take up. Took the two goals last, well, he can be able to look with the second one. But he can really play, but he gets involved in too many things that he shouldn't be getting involved with.
So, okay, how good are we talking here? The best English player since Gaza is one of the lines that gets thrown around.
Wait, it's a different type.
Sure.
I mean, Gaza was a midfield player who was exceptionally talented, but obviously didn't have the head to go with what needed to be done, Joe. Very, very unbelievably talented,
right.
Gascon, but he didn't fulfil that talent,
sure.
Because he couldn't handle the whole situation. I think Dele Alli's a different type of individual. I mean, I think at Dele Alli's age, Gascon was drinking, for example. Dele Alli, I don't think, is a drinker. I think he looks after himself. He's a fit lad. But there was things in the paper last year, even Pochettino was saying, I don't want to take this devilment out of him.
Yeah.
Nobody's asking him to do that. Discipline. Behave yourself. Get on the pitch and do... If, look what Kane does, for example. Very terrific player. Doesn't get involved in all that stupid stuff, which Dele Alli still gets involved with. Even the match before, like Manchester United, he got involved. Then he went young. Do you remember?
Yeah.
No need to do it, Joe. And that's not fire in your belly. That's just stupidity. But he's only 20. I think he's only 21 now. And he's a really, really talented lad. I think he can go all the way to the top.
Right.
As long as he learns... that get on with the business and cut out all that
nonsense. A couple of weeks ago, he played a bit deeper, kind of as one of the two midfielders, a bit deeper than where he usually does. And they did a big thing in Match of the Day saying he really enjoyed it. He got on more of the ball. Is he the type? Because I know you felt Rooney, for instance, could be a midfield player. Could you see Dele Alli taking up that kind of role?
Well, funny enough with Dele Alli, Joe, I see over the years, he's been picked in as a midfield player. He's never been a midfield player.
No, he's further on.
Never.
Yeah.
But what happens with those lads... When you're coming from a deep position as a striker, Joe, it's very, very difficult to be marked. If you're up there, the defenders know you're up there,
yeah.
And you're close to them. The closer you get to them, the easier it is for them. Now, what happens with a lot of the greats, even Messi. Messi was never, as they call it, a target man. He came deep. Now, if you come deep, right, and the ball goes in front of you, for example, now you're running behind the ball, you can pick up positions to do it.
Mm.
So, but if you're up there... then you're marked. You've got your back to the play most of the time.
That was the word that Danny Murphy said. I mean, his back to the goal, defender on top of him. And they were just saying, you know, he gets a bit more space, a bit deeper in the pitch. It might suit him more.
Exactly. Because when you come deeper, Joe, and the ball goes in front of you.
Yeah.
Right. For example, I know it's different to explain when we're talking about it. But the ball goes in front of you. You're coming now behind the ball. You can pick a position, which is the most dangerous. Right?
Yeah.
If you're already up there, you can't see that.
Mm.
Now, Dele Alli to me was never a midfield player. He was a striker coming from a deep position, as other players were in the past.
Mm.
I think Steven Gerrard, for example, did it not quite as much. He was more in midfield than Dele Alli. And Frank Lampard did, right? That's why when they played for England, they said, oh, they can't play together. Because neither of them were actually midfield players.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them were strikers coming from deep positions.
Yeah.
And Dele Alli, I've always been surprised over the years that Dele Alli is described as a midfield player. He's never been a midfield player.
You mentioned actually the little thing he had with Ashley Young at the weekend, the trash talking. So apparently the lip readers came out and had a look. And so he told Ashley Young to go and retire with a Zimmer frame. And Ashley Young said, come back to me when you've won a league.
Yeah.
How much verbals went on in your day?
Well, it wouldn't be as silly as that, Joe.
That wasn't exactly Oscar Wilde.
No. I mean, it was... I mean, and if you look back at that incident, Dele Alli had no involvement in the actual incident. I can't remember what it was, but it was Young was involved with somebody else. But he gets involved in it where there's no... It's not necessary. It's just not part of the game. Get on with the game.
Mm.
And if you have to get stuck in, you get stuck in. But there was always variables in my day.
Was it threats? Was it you next time you get the ball, you're getting it?
Yeah, it was there was a lot of psychological stuff in it. Billy Bremner was brilliant at it.
Right.
Billy Bremner, when we played against a tough opposition, one of them was the Arsenal midfield player, and he was a little bit of a headbutt.
Did you say a little bit of a headbutt?
Headbanger.
Oh, right. Okay, right, okay.
Headbanger. And Bremner would say to me, in earing shot of the player, this fella's a headbanger, Joe.
Right.
And I say, do you see it was in his paper this morning, his wife has left him. That type of...
Wow, yeah.
Madness stuff, really. You know what I mean? But I pretended that he wasn't there, and Billy pretended he wasn't there. There'd be a bit of that going on.
Yeah.
But
and did you get involved in it?
Well, I play my part. Say, I didn't see that, Billy, or whatever it might be, you know?
Yeah.
But that would be...
common.
But it wouldn't be to the detriment of your game. See, when Dele Alli does it, it's actually to the detriment of his game.
He's not in control.
He's not in control of
it. Whereas when you and Billy were doing it, you knew what you were doing.
Yeah. Right. And you weren't ever going to be sent off on it. Like Dele Alli was was, you know, we gave two fingers there and he was suspended for a match. And it was in the paper last year, like even Pochettino was saying, I don't want him to lose this fire in his belly. Nobody wants him to lose that. But you can have that without being silly.
Mm.
Like Harry Kane has the fire in his belly. Mm. But he doesn't get sent off. He doesn't do silly things.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that will stop Ali, Dele Alli, in my opinion, being one of the greats. Because he's a really, really good football intelligence. He's got a good ability. He's got an awful lot going. He's very young.
Yeah.
Hopefully he will learn as he gets older, Joe, and fulfil his promise.
I want to hear more about you and Bremner winding up your lads in the team.
Well, Bremner was always very funny. Bremner was great character on the pitch, you know. I mean, I remember playing Manchester City one time and I got into a bit of a deal with Franny Lee. You know, Franny was...
Man City.
The Man City lad. And Franny could dish it about, but I got in and as it happened, the players crossed, you know, first person off was Mike Summerby. Do you remember Mike Summerby?
He
could get stuck in as well.
Right.
You know, my reaction was, you keep your fucking nose out. You see? And Billy says, have you seen the size of his nose, wee man? You see? But that type of stuff.
So a touch of good nature about it, but a bit of an edge, obviously.
There was an edge to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a bit of humour as well.
Yeah.
And not done in a... Nasty-ish. Like Dele Alli's given you remember he was given the finger or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Getting himself into trouble. Getting himself into trouble. Where it's not necessary.
Yeah.
Not necessary. Get that out of his... He can keep that fire in his belly.
Would it be something that you would dare do to someone like the stature of a Bobby Charlton? Like, or were there certain lads that you thought, well, I'm not going in for it with someone like Bobby Charlton or a George Best type? Would there be certain respect for certain lads where it'd be seen as just you don't do
Bobby,
it?
For Bobby, but not for Georgie.
Right. George you'd be talking to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bobby, you wouldn't.
No.
No.
No,
no.
And Bobby would be too respect.
Yeah.
The physical aspect now would be a different thing.
With Bobby?
You get into Bobby.
Right.
You get into Bobby. Now, what was great about Bobby loved the hard man in football because he couldn't be a hard man himself. He just couldn't do it.
As in he was too nice to be nasty?
No, he just couldn't do it.
What do you mean?
Well, he couldn't be nasty. Didn't know how to be nasty.
Okay.
Right?
As in he didn't know how to leave a dirty stud on someone.
Okay. Didn't know how to do it.
And did you never teach him?
No, he mightn't have had the inclination to do it either.
Yeah.
But the great thing about Bobby, like you get stuck into Bobby, do all that, he'd come back for more.
He's brave.
He had good moral courage to do it.
George Bobby. Best must have had a phenomenal courage.
Yeah, George.
To keep dribbling against the Chopper Harrises and
George
stuff.
George was hugely gifted.
Yeah.
Hugely gifted player. But George played in a different way to Bobby. You know, Georgie was a dribbler in that. Bobby was a midfield player.
Mm.
Different temperaments altogether, you know.
If you went in and left something on Bobby Charlton, would he turn around to you and say, what are you doing? Or would he just get on with it?
He'd give you a look.
Right.
But he'd come back for more.
Right.
But he couldn't dish it out himself. I know from Bobby. Bobby played, but there was a great Newcastle player called Jimmy Schooler, years before your time in that. He was a hard nut. A real hard, terrific player, but a hard nut. Bobby loved him.
Right.
Bobby was a Newcastle lad. He would have supported Newcastle. Loved Bobby. But he loved the hard man. Bobby loved the hard man.
Right.
And I think inside him he'd love to be
one of them. That's interesting.
Yeah. But Bobby couldn't. He didn't know how to do it. You know?
Yeah.
But he had the moral courage to come back again. I mean, I played against Bobby for 10 years after I left Old Trafford.
Yeah.
You get into Bobby. Wonderful player. You'd get into him. Mm. You'd make gestures and that.
But it wouldn't faze him, it wouldn't stop him.
He'd come back for more.
Okay, interesting.
There was players I played against that wouldn't come back for more, Joe.
Of course.
You get stuck in him and say, oh, he's going to pack it in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Bobby wouldn't pack it in, but he didn't know how to deliver it either.
Right. Very interesting. We'll take a short break. I do want to ask actually what you made of Christian Eriksen ahead of the Denmark game, and Martin O'Neill had some interesting comments as well, so we'll take a short break.
Off the ball on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
Welcome back. John Giles is still with us. So Christian Eriksen is a man we're probably paying closer attention to than usual with the Denmark game coming up. What did you make of him last night? What do you make of him generally?
Well, I think last night was a typical performance by Eriksen. He wasn't in the game much. He doesn't control the game from midfield. he's what they call a number 10 mm-hmm. now, you know, like a midfield player that attacks. He's not going to, like if you look at Modric last night, Modric can control the game.
Yeah.
He didn't control us that well last night, but generally he can do it. And he's a real presence. Eriksen can't do that, but he's very talented, Joe. He's capable of scoring the goals that he scored last night. It was very, very well taken. But he's not going to dominate the game. He's not going to control the game. Mm. And there's a lot of times I watch him play, and most times I'm disappointed in him. I think he could do more than he actually does. I mean, if you look back at the match last night, he wasn't in the game much last night. Not by a long chalk,
yeah.
You know, but he come up with a goal and he can do that. But I don't see him as a real danger. Like if Modric was playing for Denmark, I'd be worried about him.
Right.
Because I think he'd be able to control the midfield and control the game. I don't see that in Eriksen.
Okay.
No, I would respect him yeah. because of what he can do. He can score more goals than Modric can score, but he's not going to dominate the game. I think that personality is not in him mm-hmm. to do it. And a lot of times I watched, even up to him scoring last night, I said, where's Eriksen? Where is he? You know, and but you would respect him, like you respect any player.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be worried about him. I think it's a good thing for us that Eriksen is our leading player, and I think there'll be a lot of pressure on him when it comes to playing against us. And I'm not sure he has the character to cope with that.
Okay,
you know,
interesting.
To be honest.
Martin O'Neill wasn't happy with something that was said the other week. So it was Keith Andrews. You know, O'Neill. Probably, I think it's more about Keith Andrews. It's not just about Keith Andrews. I think O'Neill generally is getting a sense in the media. People are wondering, well, what does he do exactly? And yeah. bits of luck, you know, and with the draw and with Gareth Bale out, Keith Andrews sort of quipped that at the moment, if Martin fell in muck, he'd still smell yeah. of Old Spice. And O'Neill seemed to hear this. He was speaking to the Sunday papers last week. Apologies for language here if you have kids in the car. I like Keith, but I have to turn around and say that's complete bollocks. It's complete and utter bollocks. Lucky, I'm sorry. And you can quote me on that. That is absolute bollocks. So he was pretty annoyed about this. He said, I work for these things. If someone thinks I just go and throw some water on my face and come into camp, well, actually, I'm very good at my job. I really am. And then he talked about his life as a player. Mm. And then he said, as a manager, I won competitions for Leicester. I managed Celtic in the UEFA Cup final against a side who won the European Cup the next year. That was Porto. He said, I think it's forgotten. I did get the team to the Euros. Outside of getting well beaten by Belgium, no major surprise there. We were brilliant against both Sweden and Italy. Who knows, a bit more preparation against France, with more than 3 days to prepare, we might have got to the final. And he says, you can't continually fluke something. So O'Neill really didn't like that. Didn't like this sense that people are saying, what's he doing?
I don't think anybody likes it, Joe, but I'd find it a little bit immature of him to respond to it in the way that he did. You know, you let your results speak for themselves. And there's no doubt in the draw in the last two thing, which is nothing to do with him.
Sure.
Was an element of luck in it. I mean, if we'd have picked anybody before the draw that was taken out with Croatia and Italy involved in it, we said, we'd like Denmark and it was the best. That's happened. It's nothing to do with him. I think the resentment is about, well, I don't do anything and it happened by luck that we did this and that the other. There would be an element of that in it. But there's so many aspects to management, Joe, that it's very hard to talk about it in a sensible way. You know, management, I said, there's about seven aspects of it that are very, very important. Knowledge of the game, this, that and the other. The personality of the manager.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Evans was the manager at, say, at Liverpool, for example.
Roy Evans.
Yeah. Players loved him. Never won anything.
Mm.
Right? Shankly was cruel. Stan Cull, as one of the great managers, was cruel. I spoke to Peter Broadbent, who was a great player for Wolves. He's come back a long time. I'd say, what was Cull's like? He was the biggest so-and-so I ever met in my life.
Mm.
But they won and they played. Clough, who liked Brian Clough, for example? Brian Clough, I played for him for 40-odd days. Talk about, you know, preparation. Little or nothing.
Really?
Oh, little or nothing.
And that's the school O'Neill's coming from.
But his personality, you see, dominated. Like, I didn't get on with Clough.
Yeah, sure.
Didn't like me. I didn't like him. I played, but I wanted to please him. This is an element. I think Martin has that in him as well,
mm-hmm.
that the players will do what he wants them to do.
Mm.
Now, I would criticise Martin in terms of preparation for a match, that Martin has played teams that have never played together before.
Regularly.
Now, I don't think that's right. But he convinces the players, this is what I want you to do. right? I don't think it's been all sunshine with Martin, for example. I think Martin, in the match when we played Serbia in the first match of the season, this was a fortress, this was this, this and the other, right? We got a draw there. I haven't come back from and say, oh, that was great. We showed a good card. I thought we should have won the match. Now, in the last two matches, we go to Wales and Moldova. Martin is very confident. I think we can do this, right? Didn't have that attitude when we started the series of matches. But there's obviously, you don't do what Martin has done on luck.
Yeah.
It's too long a period. It's too long a period, and he's done well too much with Leicester and Celtic on to be luck.
Yeah. But like a lot of people would look at him naming the team an hour or two hours before and seemingly not much going on in the training ground and find that odd.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
I think it's wrong.
And did Red go on.
But that's what he does. That's right. That's the way he believes he's doing it. And what he does do, he gets the best from the players he has at his disposal and whenever he plays. That's a huge element of management.
Yeah, you've probably seen managers who might work hard Monday to Friday, talk a lot, and not get the best from the players.
Well,
the weekend.
They talk too much, Joe. Right? What Martin does, you're better doing too little than too much with players, because especially if you're telling them the wrong things. The worst thing you can do is spend a lot of time with them. You see, there's loads of examples. Like when I heard when Brian Clough was winning the thing, what does he do? He doesn't do anything. We never see him. Come on. Has to be doing something. Mm. When Kenny Dalglish took over at Blackburn, they won the league. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And I can remember who was the head coach. I can't remember who the head coach was. But the head coach, what does Kenny do? He doesn't do anything. The head coach does everything. Kenny finished, went upstairs. The coach, he was sacked by Christmas. Mm. That's weird.
Football's still a strange game.
Joe, is very, very difficult to describe.
Because do you know what? Rugby, I know it's a different sport, obviously, that's the point. Rugby in this day and age, you couldn't get away with that anymore, that old school approach, because it's a different game, obviously, but everything is very coach-led and choreographed. Yeah. There is still something about football, maybe it's a simpler game.
It's not choreographed, you see.
Exactly.
It's not planned, you see. Football happens on the day.
Yeah.
You can't plan for football matches.
Although the Pep Guardiola, for instance, would argue you can. Now, I know he's got better players to do it.
Well, he doesn't really, Joe. What he's saying is, my philosophy of football is this is what we do. We keep possession of the ball. We play it out from the back and we do this and we do that and the other. He has a philosophy of what he's trying to do.
He has lots of rules. Like there can't be more than three players in a line across a pitch. He wants someone in certain spaces at all times. It is pretty prescribed. Like compared to what O'Neill is doing, it's a completely different approach.
I don't understand that.
Fair enough.
I don't understand that you can have players in certain positions at certain times, because the ball's on the pitch. And what, in my opinion, what happens is good players take position in relation to the ball. Mm-hmm. You see, when you hear the pundits talking nowadays, Joe, they never talk about positional sense. It's stats. It's stats this and stats that. The positional sense actually is 90% of the game. Mm. Where does the right back be in relation to the ball? See, when you talk about stats, the stats never say... This guy was too far ahead of the ball, right?
Yeah.
They never say tackles he should have won.
Yeah.
And that it's all about goals and it's
stats. There's no way to measure that stuff. Is the problem? You can't measure positional sense, what the game is really about. Yeah.
They can measure certain things which is not about what the game is about, right? So in Guardiola's case, if he says I want the players, like Guardiola for years came into the game, I give the players 6 seconds, 10 seconds to win the ball back.
Yeah.
Right. Which is nonsense, Joe, to be honest. Because what you do is you win the ball back as quickly as you possibly can in any given situation. Anyway.
Mm. Well, that's basically what he was saying.
Well, yeah, but people meant, you have to win it within six seconds. Yeah. Now, I'd say to Guardiola, well, why can't you win it within 3 seconds? Sometimes you can't. What he's actually saying in the old terms is everybody has an obligation to win the ball back. Mm. See, I go back to the thing in football you talk about, the old days. Two things in football which will never change. When you have the ball, you're obliged to use the ball as well as you possibly can, right? Second thing is, when you lose the ball, you have to win it back as well as you possibly can. So everybody's obliged when they get the ball to use it as well as they possibly can. Mm. When you haven't got it, everybody's obliged to win it back as well as possible. That could be the centre forward, the outside left, the inside left.
Sure. Anyway.
Now, when it came to Guardiola's time, he put six seconds on it.
Mm.
Right? Why put 6 seconds? Why not put 3 seconds on it? Win it back. You know, it's now the game changes, but never changes, Joe. And in Guardiola's case, I don't hear what he's saying, that you should be in this position or that. You should be in a certain position in relation to where the ball is.
Mm.
Ball's the most important thing on the pitch.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, it can be misunderstood in many ways what Guardiola's saying.
Of course it could, yeah.
Because it's a newfangled way of doing it.
Mm.
But it goes back to since time began. When you haven't got the ball, you're obliged to win it back. When you haven't got it, you're obliged to use it as best you possibly can.
Mm.
Right? And it gets mixed up in a lot of the jargon that's gone on. But in Guardiola's case, you see, he believes in players, Joe. He believes in them using the, especially when they have the ball, to use it as constructively as you possibly can. Right? Even more so than that.
Right.
I'm not so sure that it's an emphasis on defending. Right?
No.
Because obviously, you see now, they're still losing goals,
mm.
but they're scoring great goals.
Mm.
And I think it's brilliant. I think it's a very brave way, brave way of doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't it better than the old way when Graham Taylor was manager of Watford, where you kick it up the pitch and the two centre forwards, there's no real purpose or real invention.
Yeah.
And that's, it's crude.
Yeah.
So here's Guardiola now, play it from the back, play him. Overdone in times.
Sure.
I think he's...
He stopped that a little bit. Yeah.
Stopped that a lot.
Yeah.
A lot from the goalkeeper playing out. That was wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He played out the fullback under pressure. That's wrong. I don't care whether it's Guardiola or anybody else.
Yeah.
I think that's stopped.
It has, yeah.
Right? And he's more emphasis on defence. I think it's brilliant.
Mm, okay.
I think because I'd rather have the emphasis on that and the other way of kicking it up the pitch and... Hopefully,
see, here we go.
Ball.
Yeah. Well, you see plenty of that against Denmark.
But there's a balance to it anyway, Joe, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think we're all enjoying Man City at the moment. John, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Joe.
Off the ball on Newstalk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.